This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and this is the week where we are building up to Good Friday and then Resurrection Sunday morning. By the way, I would like to take this opportunity to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God this Sunday, 10:30. In our Sunday school hour this week, we have another great thing that takes place, and that is we sing a bunch of songs that speak about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that'll take place in our Sunday school hour, 9:30 to 10:15. So we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. And then tonight, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Then Friday night, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And then Sunday morning, we are going to be celebrating the resurrection. I tell our church a lot that I believe many people have a misperception of what heaven is going to be like. They think it's all going to be somber and very, very regal, very formal and things like that. I think heaven is going to be a great celebration. When you see the way that the word describes, you know, that heaven rejoices, the angels rejoice over one sinner who gives his heart to the Lord, and then you see in Zephaniah how God is responding over his children and rejoicing over them, and that we're supposed to be celebrating. The Old Testament celebrations were actually foreshadows of events that were going to come that took place in the life of Jesus, the fulfillment of Jesus, and their celebrations, their festivals. I believe heaven is going to be something that is dynamic, and you won't want to miss it for the world. And this is my personal invitation to you to join us Sunday morning. I will be preaching a word that God lays upon my heart, I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you. So Sunday morning, 10:30, come celebrate Easter with us at Merritt Assembly of God. And if you listen to the Refresh Radio program, please stick around long enough for me to meet you, greet you, and thank you for listening. We are grateful for all of our listeners here on the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to return back to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read the latter part of verse number 12 on down to verse number 16. And it says, "These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things committed to idols, or to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." So Jesus is telling John here that the church in Pergamos, that there were people who were holding to the doctrine of Balaam and who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Now, the doctrine of Balaam has to do with this. Balaam was willing to do anything for a dollar or a dinar. He would do anything for the greed of it, the financial gain of it. In other words, he was willing to use whatever spiritual giftings that he might have had. He was willing to offer those services to the highest bidder. And so I will tell you this, ministry is, I mean, all of us, it does take money to live, but I have never gone any place to do ministry because of the financial aspect of it. Everywhere I've gone has been because God opened the door for it. And, you know, as my commander-in-chief, my job is to bring glory and honor to him. It's not to be focused upon the balance sheet, if you will, of whether I'm going to do ministry. I had a person tell me one time that they didn't offer anything above the title or the salary in which they made. And I always found that to be odd. I guess because it's alien to the way that I've always done things. If I waited until I was paid to preach at Merit Assembly of God, I never would have preached my first sermon because we weren't paid. We didn't come because it was the dream CEO job or anything like that. No, we came because we were called by God, and God spoke to us when our flesh was wanting to say no. God said, but I want you to say yes. And so we did. And we have watched God come through as faithful. And so I have told people a number of times, you know, that for churches who are looking for a pastor, and a lot of times, especially with mega churches and things like that, they will go to someone who is demonstrating a call of God and giftings at a smaller setting, and they'll go and they'll dangle more money out in front of them and say, if you come here, you know, we'll pay you more than what you are making there. And I always thought that the best way to appeal to a person who's a servant of God, called by God, equipped by God to do the work of God, I always thought probably the best way was, hey, we've got, you know, X number of people who are praying and seeking God's face, who are looking to reach the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, in our prayer time, God said you were the person we were supposed to contact. We may not even be able to offer you what you are making now, but we believe that God is in this. That's the way that I feel like that conversation should have, you know, should go, where you appeal not to the greed of man, but to the holiness of the relationship that they have with God and the desire to please him. And so I've got a staff member who's been with me. This is going to be a difficult month because we've got our office manager who's been with me for nearly 24 years on the job is going to be retiring. I've got another person who is with us, and how they came to Merit Assembly of God was I was literally praying, did not know their name. We had crossed paths, but I couldn't have told you anything about them. And I am not a fan of someone going and plundering another local church and saying, hey, you know, come use that over here. I'm looking for people called by God. And so I mentioned that to a person, said, I know them. And I know that they are looking for a place to serve. And as a result of that, you know, they started attending Merit Assembly of God, and they've been utilizing their gifts since very early on after they arrived. In fact, people said that, you know, they were so gifted that my services were no longer going to be required in that area because they were better at it than I am. I like to surround myself with people who are more gifted than I am and smarter than I am, and get back out of the way and let them do their job. And so the reason they are here is because God called them, not because it was going to be able to enrich them better than what they were done before. That's the doctrine of Balaam. The desire to be enriched led Balaam to teach Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And so if you go back into the book of Numbers, chapter 24, chapter 25, you will find that the stumbling block that Balaam taught Balak to put in front of the children of Israel when Balaam blessed Israel instead of cursing them was he taught them to infiltrate their community through sexual immorality. And that still goes on today. That I remember when we first moved to Brevard County several decades ago, that there was a lady in the church, and they'd been working with young people, and we ended up, you know, stepping in when they planted a church, and I remember her saying that we can always tell when a young man has reached that point in his life where he becomes interested in girls because there is a serious drop off in their spiritual hunger. And I will tell you that Matthew 6:33 is still the best antidote to teaching someone to put a stumbling block of sexual immorality in front of someone else. And that is, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add all the other things unto you. He'll add everything that you need. You don't need just a relationship with another individual. You need a relationship that is built upon the foundation of God, that it is a God-ordained, God-directed relationship. Relationships are hard enough on their own. The last thing that you need are relationships that are on two different spiritual planes altogether, two different directions, where as each of you pull in your own direction, that you're placing stress on the very existence of the relationship. Sexual immorality is not worth the cost. And there's all sorts of different manifestations of that immorality. Some of it is premarital. Some of it can be postmarital, marital. In today's day and time, it's not just that pornography can be a stumbling block, but there is all sorts of pornography that is available in digital formats. And then there's people out there who are boasting about all of their great financial gain because they have embraced this immoral lifestyle. And I will tell you, that's the doctrine of Balaam putting a stumbling block in front of God's children. I remember years ago, I don't know if it still exists. It was a bizarre idea then. It's a ungodly idea now as well. And that was that there was this person that decided that they were going to try and build a church on Christian pornography. And that's not righteous. It's not moral. It's not biblical. And I will tell you that an overwhelming majority of people not just outside of the church, but inside of the church, are struggling with the same stumbling block in 2025 as Balaam put in front of the children of Israel on their journey to the Promised Land. Immorality is almost a given. Immorality is celebrated in the culture of the day, and the more distance from a biblical example of one man loving God who is in love with one woman who loves God, and the two of them are intertwined together in a relationship with God built for the glory of God till death do us part. The further away from that example you get, the more that this world celebrates the stumbling block. And so from what I've heard statistics, that there's something like 70% of men in churches across America, not this, so we're not talking outside the church, we're talking inside the church, 70% of men have this stumbling block from Revelation chapter 2, and they wonder why they're not thriving spiritually. And I will tell you, it's because it's a stumbling block. It's a spiritual stronghold that's not meant to improve your life. It's meant to destroy your life. So pornography has consequences that, you know, it's like a gateway experience. And, you know, once you walk in the gate, it just keeps trying to get you further and further and further into the trap until it ruins your health, ruins your relationships, and ruins your life or ruins your eternity. It's not a victimless industry. And there's not just an appeal to males with this anymore, but there is an appeal from the world to put this same stumbling block in front of ladies, young girls. And, you know, new technology comes up, and I saw a headline in the past month that a person said, I think God would be very pleased that I'm happy because I'm in this industry. And I would really need to introduce that young lady to people who were part of that industry, and God had to deliver them from that industry. And it can, from what I have been told, be a lucrative industry, but it comes at great spiritual cost. It's a spiritual stumbling block. It makes a difference where you go to school. Make sure you go to the Word of God, not to culture, because God's way is always the best way. And the financial gain may come at tremendous spiritual expense, relational expense, and most definitely physical expense. And the last place that immorality should be celebrated is in the house of God. When you read in the Old Testament about Israel being caught in the throes of decision, or in the valley of decision, between worshiping the God who brought them out of Egypt or worshiping Baal in its many different formats, one of the differences was Baal worship included immorality and worship of the one true God prohibited it. It was not to be condoned, and it was not to be celebrated. And so if you're in a church that is compromised because of their view on sexual immorality and all of its different manifestations, please understand that that's very dangerous, In fact, here's what Jesus says. He talks about these doctrines, and he says, I have a few things against you. That's in verse number 14. And then he talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans down in verse number 15, and he talks about hating those things. And a little bit longer, we will talk deeper into chapter 2 about the church in Thyatira, and that there was a doctrine being taught there. And he says, I give them time to repent of their deeds. So Balaam taught, or the doctrine of Balaam has to do with doing things primarily motivated by what sort of physical gain you are going to get out of something, and worshiping idols, and then coupling that with immorality. So let me just take you on down to Revelation chapter 2, and let me read to you what it says to the church at Thyatira. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith, your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Sounds like a great place. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow, or you tolerate, is what another text reads. Another translation, you allow or tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now, to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's not trivial to God. The doctrine of Balaam and this prophetess Jezebel, who titled herself that, by the way, there are certain things that whenever I hear them in a modern sense, I automatically cringe if someone calls themselves a prophet or a prophetess. I say, have you read the Old Testament? Have you read what the job description of a prophet or a prophetess is? It's not just telling people what is to come. It was meant to call them back into a relationship with God in a very intense yet compassionate manner. A lot of people get caught up in the fortune or the future of activities of being a prophet or a prophetess and miss the relational aspect of the message, where God says, I want you to come back to me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And now, in our modern society, in the past few decades, there has been a transition that has taken place, where we used to protect children from even being exposed to the stumbling blocks of immorality. Now, children are, the culture is wanting to target them and get them all trapped and compromised in as early as they possibly can, get them derailed. And I will tell you this, if the enemy is targeting our youth, that is because he must see in them that God wants to do something very precious and very valuable in them. There's anything that has been evidenced, it's that even the sins of your youth can derail you. And so you can't just say, oh, well, I'm only 18. I'm only 17. I'm only 16. You and I need to realize that the enemy loves to use past failures. God will forgive your past sins. He wants to forgive you of those. He wants you to run to him with those. The enemy never wants to forget, and he wants to use those past failures as an accusation against you to prevent and prohibit you being able to use your voice, your testimony in any sort of powerful way. I know a lot of people who made some bad decisions when they were young that still live with the price tag of the stumbling block that Balaam taught, that this lady who called Jezebel was teaching. They fell prey to it, and they're still paying for that stumbling block. By the way, that word in verse number 20, these things against you because you tolerate that woman. There's a great push in our modern society that tries to get us to be tolerant of this and tolerant of that. And really the definition of tolerance has changed, and they not only want you to not confront them in those areas, but you're supposed to condone, you're supposed to celebrate that. And I will tell you that Jesus was not celebrating immorality in the church of Thyatira, nor was he celebrating it in the church of Pergamos. But he was saying, I'm coming in mercy. I want to give you the opportunity to repent. And if you'll take that opportunity to repent, I can set you on the right path. I pray that all of us will have our eyes fully opened to the stumbling block, whatever that stumbling block may be that the enemy puts in our path, and say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with that. Few times in my life as an adult, I've tripped and I've fallen in a physical sense. And here's what I found. Falling is painful. Stumbling hurts. Let's not stumble when it comes to the things of God. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.